from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Wow, how good's that? Great to be with you here. My name's Pastor Andrew Staggs. Last time I was here was 2019. Does anyone remember the years before COVID? Before COVID came, and we were here with Pastors Brad and Shez, and it's just always amazing. Like, you've grown. You've taken a wall out. There's expansion in the house. It's absolutely wonderful. And we love your pastors, Pastor Az and Beck Hamilton. And they're down doing some good stuff. I just had this overwhelming sense during the worship. I've got a Bible verse. I've got to open my Bible. Just a new season of expansion for you. I had this thought. It just came to me out of Joshua 13. So halfway through Joshua, they've already conquered the middle kingdom. They've already conquered the northern kingdom. And it says here that when Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him. So I'm not saying the church is getting old, but there's a sense of there's a season of transition that you're coming into. And it says here, you are very old, but there is still very large areas of land to be taken over. So I'm sensing that for your church. I don't know why they got me to come and do the nail in the coffin of the old version of the church, but there's a sense of a new season coming. What a great name, Beacon Church. And I've always thought that the Redlands needs a great lighthouse church out here. And many decades ago, a group of people established a stake in the ground here for God to do a great work. So met some old-timers here this morning. It's wonderful. But just have this thought. There's more people to be reached for Jesus, more ministries to be done, larger youth sections of younger people to come through. And I jumped around the front with many of you at Planet Shakers on Friday night. Wasn't that a good night? And then some of you have been to Planet Boom this week. It's been absolutely wonderful. So God's doing a good work. My wife, Pastor Jean, normally comes with me. She's working at the hospital today. She's a registered nurse. So she prayed for me this morning as she sent me out of the house. She would have loved to have been here. It's a wonderful sense that God is here and God is continuing to do great things in your life. So the time's gone, so I better get into the preaching of the word, hadn't I? So good. So just to tell you a little bit about myself, I've been around the AOG and the INC movement for quite some time. And I remember when I was at Bible College, I was in an AOG church, and we wanted to help Schoolies Week ministry. This is back in 1997. Pastor Andy Goulet leads Red Frogs. He was an accountant like I were, and so we knew each other in the accountant days. He used to wear brown and worked for the in Treasury Department for the Queensland government. And we're both in youth work, and our hearts were broken by what was going on at Schoolies Week. So the churches started to get together and pool resources. And I remember helping in those first couple of years at Schoolies, and I remember getting home when the sun was coming up. And then my four-year-old daughter said, "Dad, where have you been?" And I said, "I've been to Schoolies Week." And she says, "What's Schoolies Week?" And I said, "That's something you're never going to know anything about, darling." But I remember I just come back from New York then. I said, "I'll take you," and this is with, you know, dads, you make bold promises to your children. "I will take you anywhere in the world, my love, for 2 weeks at the end of high school, as long as you don't go to Schoolies Week." But any dads in the room realize that when you make promises to their kids, they remember. So she said, "Dad, I want you to take me to New York City." And then a couple of years later, my son said, "Where are you taking me, Dad?" And I thought, oh, I made a promise to one sibling, but you know you've got to be fair. So anyway, Jethro and I were winging across to Europe, and we did a Singapore stopover. I love Singapore. And then have a look at these photos. Here's two handsome roosters let loose in Singapore. It's my son Jethro. And if you've ever been to Singapore, down by the gardens by the bay, they've got these super trees. Look at this. And behind it is the Marina Bay Sands Hotel. It's like three towers with a surfboard on top. Next slide. Look at the top there. This is taken from the top. There's a cafe on the top looking down over the gardens. Isn't that just magnificent? I want to let you know, I will preach in a moment. I don't work for the Singapore Tourist Association, but it's a nice place to go. But have a look over here. You've got two greenhouses over here. Aren't they just magnificent in the shape of a shell? Let's go inside one of them now. Have a look at that. That's just magnificent. There's plants, from all around the world there. It's a wonderful environment. It's like a perfect ecosystem. And each element, every plant strategically located with the right amount of light and oxygen, nutrients in the soil. Certain plants planted next to each other because certain plants grow better when they're together with other plants. It's a very nurturing, life-giving environment. Really, really powerful. And as I was standing there overawed by this man-made phenomena, it made me think this is the way that God has wired up the world, and especially how he's wired up his family, his church, and what we call God's new community. In Acts 2, there's a wonderful passage which says what happens after the day of Pentecost, a powerful preaching, 3,000 people were saved, and this is the ushering in of the modern day church which we are part of. And let's read out of Acts 2 this beautiful passage. I'm going to be reading from the NIV today. It says this: those who accepted Peter's preached message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44, all the believers were together, and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to everyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If you look at the Message Bible in verse 44, it says, all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. It's a wonderful example of what I call God's transformational greenhouse, which is his new community, or the church as we know it. And here's one expression here in the Redlands called Elevation Church, soon to be called Beacon Church. There's five things that are happening in this nutrient-rich community. Number one, you see them devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. You have this common sharing of beliefs. Number three, they're being made they're together and they have everything in common. Number four, there's meeting together every day. And number five, there's eating together with glad and sincere hearts. And this passage, Acts 2, is a launch passage for the rest of the book of Acts, 28 powerful chapters, where you see over a 60-year period God's church established. And really, the book of Acts is a book called the Acts of Holy Spirit. But it's also a book which summarizes personal transformation and community transformation. You'll see stories that the disciples went and they literally turned the known world upside down with this radical new teaching of the way. It says their lives were changed. They were fundamentally changed to the core that they established a counter-cultural culture, which was very different to the culture of the time. And it was like light and day with the other people living at that time. So much so that there's a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17 which summarizes this. It says, these people who become Christians, they became brand new people. They were not the same anymore. The old life had gone and a new life had begun. A significant subterranean shift had happened in their lives, their minds, their inner world, that literally they had been transformed. You know when someone's been transformed and all of a sudden they have a revelation that their money and their property and their resources are not their own, but they are meant to be stewards for the benefit of other people. That is a very radical idea. And I'm wondering, the catalyst for this was actually set up by Jesus, and the last recorded words before he comes back to heaven is on the screen here in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 16 to 20 says this: then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Full stop. In my spiritual formation, my discipleship, I actually remember those words when someone's held down as they're going through the waters of baptism. And I thought that passage was a full stop at the end, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you read the Word of God, if you notice at the end of verse 19, there's a comma. Look what the comma says. And teaching them to, what's the next word?
Obey.
Obey. O-B-E-Y. How can four letters mean so much? Obey. I wish so much that that verse had been taken out of the Bible, because this is a key part of how we're meant to become like Jesus Christ and how we're meant to be transformed. Teaching that Jesus gave, I love the fact that Jesus is my friend. Jesus answers my prayers. Jesus is my counselor. He's my healer. But the thought of Jesus being my teacher and him telling me things and I'm to obey them, oh, this we're talking about change at a deep, deep level. Now, women, just close your eyes for a moment. But men, I'm not going to dump us in it. But how many men really like being told what to do in this room? Like, seriously, we're talking about change at a deep, effective level. You can change your hairstyle, you can change your hair, but we're talking about change where God's word and his presence goes so deep right down into the fundamental core of who I am, to the level of my affections, my emotions, my drives, my desires, technical term for educated people in the room, conation. The idea of my decision-making center right at the very core of who I am, my worldview, the way I change the world. And I know for me, it's happened in waves, and like the peeling of the onion layers off my life, that God gently leads me in, and he leads me with a desire to become more like him and move to new dimensions of wisdom and satisfaction. And it feels like I'm giving up something, but in fact I'm investing something to become more and more like him. Deep, fundamental transformation and change, friends, comes when we allow the Word of God to come so deep into the core that we become reflex action obeyers. When we say, sorry, Lord, we say, yes, Lord, sorry, what was the question? This is the level of obedience and transformation that God is calling us to. Are we doing all right here today? You're going, I want my Pastor Raz back next week. He's going to stroke me a bit nicer. I'm here to help some people today. Because some of you have been looking, you want your 2023 to be very different than it was last year. I think this is going to be key for some of you, because you're wondering, I want to be more like Jesus, but you trying harder and reading more of the Bible, just, it's good, but it's not working to the level that you want it to work at. So at the end, we're going to pray a prayer about God, coach me, teach me and lead me on this wonderful journey of ongoing transformation where I'm moving to be like you from glory to glory to glory. I wish that God sometimes by his Holy Spirit would just, I'd say yes to Jesus. He'd just zap me, and all of a sudden a bus would arrive and then he'd take me straight to heaven. It doesn't work like that. God takes me on this journey of maturity to become more and more like him, which is exactly what Romans talked about. This is the very reason why we're in this life-giving greenhouse, this community of love and faith, so that we become more and more like him. Here's one of many verses which outlines God's reasons for this wonderful transformation process and why he's placed us in this house, this church, this life-giving community. And it's in Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. And I'm going to read from the Message Bible so I can bring out some new flavors. Look at verse 29. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in a line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. See, he's the pattern. We're to follow him. And then it says this, after God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. And after he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. God wants to do a good work in you, and he will finish what he started in your life when we continue to move and partner with him for our own benefits. There's a character development process that God wants to gently lead us on so that we think like Jesus thinks, acts like Jesus acts, and do the things that Jesus did. The first century Jewish system of development education, the highest form of that was apprenticeship, where the challenge was to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to do the things that Jesus did. It's a wonderful journey of development and transformation. And so much so that God brings leaders and ministries around our lives so that we become more and more like Jesus and we don't get stalled or stunted or stay infants in our faith. Have a look at this another passage in Ephesians 4. This is one of many which outline God's grand plan for our transformation. Apostle Paul's getting pretty tough here. He goes, "No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters." He's telling people, get ready to grow up. It's time to eat meat. Some of us haven't got our teeth because we're still busy on the milk. God wants us to eat the meat of the word, but he's challenging us here. Paul says this, God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we'll grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Verse 17. I'm sure there's a 17. Here it comes. There's not. That's my mistake, sorry. There's the big idea all on one screen that God has a plan for us to grow up and that he brings people like apostles and teachers, pastors, evangelists to help shape us and to help coach us into a life that's just like Jesus. Now, for some of you thinking, where's the blueprint for this? Where's the basis for this in the Bible? He gives us some big ideas, and this is what I love about good Bible thinkers. The Bible is a list of stories and letters and principles, but it's not a step-by-step how-to guide. That's why I love good thinkers and theologians who sit down and write down and take all the principles across 66 books of the Bible and lay out a pattern of what God is trying to teach us. So many people have come up with this word, discipleship. And there's a process of discipleship where God takes us and puts a series of elements around us so that we become more and more like Christ. There's a great writer on discipleship called Bill Hull, and I love his books on discipleship. And what he's done, he's come up with a picture called a transformation triangle. Now, I like the work of Bill Hull because I'm a visual person, and he's American, and what us Australians usually do is we say to the Americans, you got it about 80% right. We'll add our other 20% to it. So no offence to Bill Hull. I've taken his picture and I've added some colours to it, and it might be really helpful for us today. So we'll put this on the screen. Here's an example, a picture of how we can be transformed to become more and more like him. Now, the youth section over here, some of you might be graphic designers over here. And see, there's a big green triangle and a little green triangle. That symbol is actually a symbol of transformation, a small triangle becoming a bigger triangle. Bill Hull's model doesn't actually have Jesus as the centre. It's kind of assumed. But what I thought I'd do, because there may be some people in the room here who haven't yet come into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is not like a Tony Robbins building a great life kind of model. This is a model of change and transformation with Jesus Christ at the centre, where he's going to give us the power. And so what we see is a series of six elements that are needed so that we can be developed holistically and become the people of God. Now, as I go through the six, you might go, yep, got that one. Yep, got that one. Doing good with that one. But God may show you something, a particular area that he may want you to start to focus on in 2023. So for some of you, you're going to leave here with the key that you are looking for to honor your God even more fully with a greater level of devotion. So let's start number one. Let's start off with, on the right-hand side, scripture. The reading, not only the reading of the Word of God, but reading and meditating the Word of God and applying the Word of God. Any study on spiritual formation or disciple says this is the number one accelerator for your transformation and spiritual growth. So for some of you who've started your one-year shred or your 30-day shred, your one-year in a Bible program, well done for that. You're well on the way. The reading, the meditating, and the application of the Word of God is a wonderful accelerator. Number two, on the other side, the orange one, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helped write the Word of God. He was a key person in the revelation process. And it's Holy Spirit who, when you read the Word of God, you can say, Holy Spirit, coach me as I'm reading this. What does it mean? You were there when this was written. What is the original intent of this Word and how can I apply this to my life today? I'd say this, as I read the New Testament, the normal new Christian life is a Spirit-filled life. The Apostle Paul says, be filled with Holy Spirit. So I'm not even talking about Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever. There's a sense that God has a baptism for us, an expression of His fullness that He wants to give to us. And we believe in our particular movement that that is evidenced with speaking in tongues, which is a supernatural language. So don't get hung up on that. And I'm happy to pray for people at the end. If you're thinking, today's my day, I want to seek that dimension that God wants, I really commend you. I could not live a life following Jesus Christ. I cannot minister unless I'm Spirit-filled. I have His supernatural empowerment. That's the way Jesus ministered, and so that's the way I'm going to minister. The other bottom line is community. For some of you, this might be a new idea. This is why we come to church and meet in groups. Christianity, friends, is not a solo sport. We need each other. And I know that community is an essential part of becoming like Jesus and transforming. I know for me, I had to go on this journey as I read the Word of God. There's passages that the Apostle Paul writes in letters to new churches, and it's like he's a vegetarian, or he's telling us to eat our vegetables. I call them the vegetarian patches or the lettuce patches. Let us meet together. Let us break bread together. Let us pray for each other. Boom, boom, it's a bit of a dad's joke, but it's okay. But there's a sense that we need each other to grow into fullness. My spiritual formation, becoming like Jesus, had been accelerated by encouragement from other people, but also to a kick up the pants from other people more mature. Remember, as a 22-year-old, someone said, pull your head in, mate. Pull your head in. That's how Jesus would talk. I remember the time God spoke to me through another man about saying, you've got to get the word bloody out of your vocabulary. Every time you say that, you're disrespecting the blood of Jesus Christ. Community did that for me. And I grew quicker when I committed myself to a life-giving community entrusted. So there's three elements. The top thing is over here is mission. Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit, which means get up and go. That's what I love about Red Frogs. It mobilizes people to go and reach people who need a kindness bomb or a love encounter or someone to speak the kind words of Jesus to them. Something about mission is that means we're outward focused. So you may be reading the Word, applying it. You may be in community. You may have the power of Holy Spirit, but you've got no outward focused expression of your faith. Friends, the world needs to hear your voice. You have something to say to the world. God has something to say to the world through you. So He needs you this year to be even more mobilized and outward focused. I've done a lot of pastoring of churches and even people in chronic pain, I'd say at least once a month, do something, even if your world's blown up and broken, do something at least once a month where you're outward focused helping other people. It's part of a healing process, but it's part of the mature Christian life that God is calling us to do. The other side is pattern and training and habits. Some of these people call these spiritual disciplines, but I know there are certain disciplines, certain practices I do. Praying is one. Reading the Word of God, attending church in a small group is another one. But these are reflex action habits that I've put in my life, which I don't even have to entertain the flesh or my old life with. These are just things I do on automatic pilot now, still with a heart of love for God, that help keep me focused on what God is wanting to do. So Fasting may be one. Don't park here, Pastor. Don't talk about fasting. But for some of you, there's a sense of, like I know for me, fasting just changes my desires. It gets my opinion out of the way. I know for some of you, solitude may be a practice you want to try this year. For some people, you may deliberately empty yourself of your own idea and your own opinion. Try that for 3 months. And you're going to hear the voice of God come through his word with greater clarity. So for some of you, that's a challenge. Like, put it this way, you could ask this. When your name is mentioned, what do they say? Oh, he always does this. Hopefully it's good. This is how they trapped Daniel. They knew that he prayed 3 times a day. He was known because of his habits and the patterns of his life. Peter and James and John went up to the temple, as was their custom. What are you known for? Hopefully, it's part of something which will lead us to be more and more like Jesus. Now, I've left the best one for last. Events and pain. I love motivating people with wisdom. If I had multivitamins here, I'd say, hey, take this, this is good for your body. And the end of the day is, people know it's a good idea to eat well and have multivitamins, but I know as a preacher, a lot of the time I'm speaking to pain, I'm giving pain relief. Pain will be your best motivator to become like Jesus if you process it well. The Bible account is full of stories and examples and teaching that pain is gifted to us in strategic seasons to help build our faith and to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. Can I say this? If you're going through a season of pain, and we all do, and they come in seasons, friends, do not waste your pain. Partner with God in community so that the upward transformation of moving from glory to glory will become part of your life. I know this. The devil, when you're in a season of pain, will try and isolate you and say, you're the only one who's ever experienced this. You might as well give up now. There's a season of my life where I was in intense, structural, strategic pain, and I was contemplating matters of life and death. How about I say that? Community came around me and said, Andrew, we see that you're struggling. We don't know the specifics of the same pain, but this is how God helped us through other seasons. Not exactly the same as yours, but this is how we saw God in this and all that. Community averted me from a permanent solution to temporary pain. This is why we need each other, friends. So some of you this year, I encourage you, sign up to be part of some group of 3 or 4 people. Join a small group of something, because start to invest in the very resource that you may need in 6 to 9 months' time. Some of you don't know what's coming in your spring, but God does. And if it's pain, can I encourage you, don't waste it. Move with the season, because we know that this too shall pass after a time. 6 key elements, like God's transformational greenhouse, to make you more like him. But notice it's not a solo sport. We all need each other, don't we? It's a wonderful thought. So where are you? How's it going to work? Let's look at the next slide. How's your year going to shape up? I'd say it another way. These elements need to be worked around 4 areas, and this is how we teach at City Point Ministry College. Head, heart, hands, and habits. Put it this way, you may say, I'm really good at reading the Word of God and applying it to my life. So it's in your head, but it hasn't got a message to your face because you look grumpy. It looks like you've been sucking lemons. And the people around you still find you very hard to live with and like. You are still known not by your habits as a smiley, happy, joy-filled person. You still can have the Word of God in your life, but still living almost like you can be a believer for 20 years but have 20 years of the same 1 year experience. At some stage, the truth of God needs to hit our heads, friends, then transform our hearts, our passions, our desires. Then over time, you can see it outwork through our hands and our hugs of healings, and everyone knows us, oh, he's just a kind guy. He's one of those Jesus guys. He is known. This is his pattern. This is his habit. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Like my pastor said this once, you don't need to tell me what you believe. I can tell what you believe by your behavior. It's a powerful thought, isn't it? That's why for me running a Bible college, I can be careful. Our lecturers don't fill our students' heads with knowledge and there's no transformation. That's why Pastor Josh Pellow, one of our great pastors, our movement says, our City Point Ministry College education is not just about a qualification or an education, but it's about a transformation. That's why we need to be outward focused on mission, doing these things so that the Word of God is worked in and out of our heart. So for some over here, and I've got to do as thinkers, leaders over there. For some of you, you're great at doing. Some of you are great at leading. But for some of you, you need to get more word into your head and more, get God to do a deep work in your thinking and do some renewal. I know in our movement, there's a real push in the INC movement now to take more territory in Australia for Jesus Christ, and increase our market, our place ministry. And some people this year maybe even need to consider some study along the way. I know I'm part of a group with Christian Heritage College, so we've got education, we've got social sciences, we've got business, and we've got the ministry college. It's a wonderful thought. Here, I'm not here to sell courses per se, but do something this year. Read a book or get some new inputs into your life that will make your hands more skillful and more effective to reach a hurting world. Just so happens today up the back, I know it's Dr. Steve Beaumont, who leads our social sciences team from Christian Heritage College. Can we give Steve a round of applause? So if you're thinking about counselling, like we need more counsellors, friends. We need more Christian social workers. We need more skilled, spirit-filled people in healing professions so that the transformation of God, there are people out there in pain. They haven't processed their pain properly. They need spirit-filled, trained Christian people to move them out of that pain spiral and get them to see the hope of God and how this is part of God's grand and more perfect plan for their life. It's a wonderful thought. So to position where we are as the musicians come, I want to think about this next slide that we have here. I will go to the next one. That's the big picture. I love this work. This is the work of some guys. And I collect stuff and think, because I'm always thinking, God, am I growing right? Am I on track? How am I going? Am I using my pain wisely? Am I becoming more and more like you? Here's one schematic of many. It talks about four stages of Christian maturity and transformation. This may help some of you today. First one is exploring Christianity, which is I believe in God, but I'm not sure about Christ. My faith is not a significant part of my life. Next one is I'm growing in Christ. I believe in Jesus and I'm working on what it means to get to know him. The third stage of maturity phase, I'm close to Christ. I feel really close to Christ and I depend on him daily for guidance. And then the fourth level of maturity is where I'm Christ-centered. God is all I need in my life. He is enough. Everything I do is a reflection of Christ. I love people who make difficult things really simple. As I said, I like visual things. So some of you may be right now, and I've asked Holy Spirit to start to hover over this meeting because I think God wants to talk to some of you today and bring an encouragement to you. Some of you are doing better than you think you are. But some, if we looked at the six elements, thinking, I've got five working, I'm going to focus on number six. Because in Proverbs it says, the way of the wise winds upward. And your life is becoming more and more like Jesus. So it's a great encouragement. One thing about this survey is it's highlighted something that a lot of people get stuck at level two and they don't proceed to level three. Something happens in that triangle, the events and pain. Something happens that hits them so hard that it knocks the wind out of their confidence and it challenges their Christian faith to the core. Some people drop out of community at the end of stage two and they're what the researchers call they're stalled. Sometimes it goes like this. Someone, you may have intense sickness in your family. You may lose a loved one. Someone may have lost a child. You were made redundant at work. Something that you were dreaming for and believing for didn't come off. And there's a deep sense of disappointment and resentment and you blame God for that. You love God, but sometimes you don't trust his people, his church. So thank God you're in church today. For those of us who grew up with Top Gun the first time, Tom Cruise and Maverick, there's a moment where he loses Goose. And for months afterwards, he's flying the plane, but he's not engaging. He's lost his nerve. He's lost his mojo. And you look at the training instructors, they're looking, they've lost his edge. He's lost the edge. We're worried about him. And they keep sending him up. And there's a moment where there's a dogfight on. It says, "Sir, Maverick's re-engaged. Get him back in the saddle. It's time to get mobilized again." I feel this morning God's sent me. I want to pray for some people. Then we're going to close the meeting in a moment. I'm going to pray. We're going to close the meeting. But I'd love a chance to pray. If you want a fresh touch from God this morning, and you resonate with that, you're stuck at one level because you just don't understand what God's done, and you want to start this year with something fresh, and you say, "I'm not going to take the blockages of last year into this year. God, I need a fresh touch from you. I want to get back in the saddle again. It's time to keep growing again. I don't want to be stalled anymore. I want to be like Maverick. I'm re-engaging. I'm back in the fight. I'm outward focused. I'm living the life that I'm meant to be living." I'd love a chance to pray. I'm going to close with a verse, but let's stand as we get ready for that. I love the next slide here. It talks about, we'll move on from the next one. I love Philippians 2:13. There's something about this verse I love, and reading from the Passion, it says there, "God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him." Isn't that good? The Amplified says this, "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure." It's God who gives us the desire to be like Jesus. But it's Holy Spirit that also gives us the power to become like Jesus. This is human divine agency at its finest. We have to do our bit, friend, lean in. And as we take our step, God's already doing his bit. So it says in Philippians, when God starts a good work in us, he will complete it. But we need to do our bit to work on our desires, to drive and to partner with him and his resources. God can't change our inner world. Like that decision making, that's our thing. That's why he's a God of freedom. We've got to partner with him. And I think I've got one more slide. I've got Psalm 92. I love this verse. I want to pray for this. If I haven't, I'm sorry. I've given you guys a bum steer. But it's Psalm 92 verse 10. It says this, "God has empowered our life for triumph. He's anointed us for triumph. And God can give us fresh oil." So if you need fresh oil this morning, you need a fresh touch, like my car's just come up, we're going to take it in for service this week. It's time for an oil change. I've been using up some oil. It's time for fresh oil for my car to go to the next 15,000. For some of you today, you may want to come forward and say, "God, I just need a fresh touch from you for this year. I need some fresh oil because I know you want to do a mighty work within me. You want to do a mighty work through me this year." It's a wonderful thought. So I better pray. Father God, we thank you for your time here this morning. You're touching your people deeply. Bit of teaching, bit of preaching, bit of motivation today. God, I pray you'll help us. Those six elements of reading the word, being in community, being outward focused, being open to Holy Spirit. God, working on our habits and our disciplines. God, we choose to position ourselves in your house under your presence for this year, God. We know that we're not going to drift towards transformation, but many of us decide today to take a more active role in partnering with you for your greatness and your glory to come out through me for the benefit of other people. God, many of us this year want to experience greater levels of fulfillment as we serve you and use our gifts for the benefit of a hurting Redlands. So God, we decide today that we're not going to leave 2023 to chance. We decide today that, God, we need a plan. We're not going to drift anymore. God, we decide today that we want to hear your voice and respond more obediently till we get to the reflex action of yes, always to you, God. God, help us to make plans, even this week, to strengthen inputs that help us to grow to be more like you. God, I know you've chosen many of us for special assignments that you're already preparing us in advance to do, and this week is just another layer of preparation. So I pray, God, you help us to grow in your character. Help us not to waste our pain. God, even when we're going through the wilderness of temptation, that you're going to give us the strength to say yes to you and no to the devil. God, I pray that you'll help me to be more loving and kinder with other people with hurts around me, that I have realized I've been positioned there to help them get through their pain and move them to a new level of Christ-likeness. God, help me to pay forward the forgiveness that you've given me to the benefit of other people and make my heart more loving and more kind, even starting this week. God, we want to be more like you. Thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.